Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Joshua. Chapter 21. I'm going to be primarily here in the 21st chapter of Joshua. I'll be looking at a couple other passages. One other in Joshua and then another one in the New Testament. But this is going to be the basis of our text this morning, Joshua beginning in verse 43. As we approach this time, this week is Thanksgiving, right? And we've talked this morning about being thankful and thanks, right? How many of you caught that in the songs we were singing about being thankful and thank you and thanks? Y'all see that? Good, because now I'm going to talk to you about the giving part. But it's not what you think. It's not what you think. In verse 43 of the 21st chapter of Joshua, we read this. And I'm just going to read a few verses here, and I'm going to talk in amongst them, so just bear with me. Verse 43, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it and settled there." In this verse, we see two gives. The Lord gave all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. I want to tell you, don't settle till you get there. A lot of times we settle far short of where God has already given and what God intends to give to us, and we settle for sure. And we read that when we look back over the Israelites, they settled. The truth is, we settle, and we ought not to settle. We've been talking about, somebody tell me, just shout out a word, what we've been talking about. Our God is a more God. He is faithful. Verse 44, "The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors." He did what? He did what? The Lord what? Gave them rest, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave them all their enemies into their hands. God did not say there would not be battles. He did not tell the people, hey, I'm giving you this, so there's nothing you need to do. Just go in and it's yours. He didn't say that. He said there would be battles, but that the enemy would not be able to stand up against them. Let me tell you something. You're going through battles today. Many of you are going through tough battles even this morning. But you need to know the Word of God says the enemy will not be able to stand up against you if you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Verse 45, "Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed." Everyone was fulfilled. Fulfilled. We're going to talk about that word in a minute. Fulfilled. I want you to look at that verse again. Is it still on the screen? "Not one of the Lord's promises to the house of Israel failed." Everyone was fulfilled. I want you to... I'm not editing God's word. I just want to make it personal to you, okay? So instead of "the house of Israel," I want you to put your name in there. And we're going to read it all out loud. Ready? One, two, three. "Not one of the Lord's good promises to Michael failed. Everyone was fulfilled." Did you know that when God makes a promise to you, he keeps his word? He does. He is a more God. He is a word-keeping God. He will keep his word. You can rest assured of that. He is a promising God. This morning, the title of this message is Give and Take. Give and take. We talk about the give and take, right? Give and take. When I watch NASCAR, which today is the final running, the championship will be decided today. I'm excited for that. But I hope I have a reason to be Thanksgiving later on. But still, they talk about early in the race, there has to be give and take. Because the goal, whether you win or lose, is to at least make it to the end of the race, right? Because you can't win if you don't make it to the end of the race. So early in the race, there's some give and take. You know, when push comes to shove, you know, sometimes you kind of let them other person in ahead of you. Just you give a little bit, somebody takes a little more. Towards the end of the race, it's all take. It's all take. It's all take. Give and take. When I ask you, are you a giver or are you a taker? Are you a giver or are you a taker? We're going to talk about that. We're going to unfold this a little bit. The word of today is not give or take. The word of today is fulfillment. One of the last words we read on the screen. Fulfillment. Are you fulfilled? Are you being fulfilled? My dad likes to have things full. My dad loves when you pour his tea glass, he likes it to where it's almost running over the edge. Because that's full, right? And he's kind of in charge of making the tea at our house. So when he makes a pitcher of tea, if the tea pitcher has been made and it's fresh and it's in the refrigerator, don't just reach up there and jerk it out because it's going to spill out the spout because it's that far below the spout. It's full. It's full. Okay? He likes things full. When he gets a glass of milk, and milk is good. When he gets a glass of milk, he likes it to where you can't pick it up off the counter yet. You have to stoop over and... You know what I'm talking about? My dad likes to have things full. And I think a lot of it with his generation, you know, when you grow up, you want to get your money's worth. Right? If you want to go somewhere, you want to when you go to the gas station, they say, do not top off your tank, right? Mike says he's topping it off because he wants to get full. He wants to get his money's worth. Full is good. Full is good. Bugs me sometimes when I... How many of you have ever bought and opened a bag of potato chips? Does that not drive you crazy? You got to open it up, and this big old bag, you open it up, and you could pour the whole bag out and put it inside one of the small single-serve bags of chips, right? Now, of course, they do that. They say, well, it's because we put air in there so they don't get crushed and all that. Yeah, they could use a smaller bag. And that way you wouldn't be deceived when you're buying what you get. I want it full. If I'm going to sit down and eat a whole big family-sized bag of potato chips by myself, I want to eat the whole thing and I want it full, right? We want things full, right? How many of you would like to wake up tomorrow morning, go online, call your bank, whatever you do, and they say, hey, your account is full? I would love that. I would love that. I'm not sure we're getting that from the scripture this morning, but what I'm saying is we like to be full, right? We like full. I like full. Your life is full, whether you know it or not. It's full of something, right? You heard somebody say, well, he's just full of it. Everybody's full of something. You have stresses. You have deadlines. You have kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, games, practices, meetings, and so forth, jobs. We have stuff in our life that fills it up. It's full. Our lives are full. But I didn't ask you if your life was full. I asked you if your life was fulfilled. There's a difference. There's a difference between being full and being fulfilled. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life, when I look and I see lives that are, I don't know if there's ever been a time when I can see that lives have been fuller, yet souls have been emptier than the time we're living in right now. We have this idea of more, more, more. We talked about God's a more God. Yes, more, more, more. But we have a distorted understanding of what that means in our lives. And we think that more means the stuff we can, the stick stuff. If you were here last week, the stuff we can measure with the stick, yeah? Not the stuff that we step on the scales and measure with the scales. But we want that physical touch, the more, the bank account, the toys, the entertainment, all that stuff. We think that we want that, but it leaves us more empty than we've ever been as a people in a generation. I did some study this week, and I came to understand and realize that there are about three different types of people when you talk about giving. There are the givers, Givers do what? They give. You have the takers. The takers do what? They take. They take. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's opposites attract. So sometimes in a marriage you have the giver and the taker, right? Like sometimes you have there'll be a marriage and one is a good cook. One is a good cook. That's the giver. The other one likes to eat the cooking. That's the taker. Give and take. See, it takes some give and take. Give and take. You got to have that. Sometimes you have the person that likes a clean house, and so they do a lot of cleaning. Usually the other person likes to make the mess. Give and take. Give and take. I won't tell you which one I am. Okay, you have the givers, the takers, and then you have this group that I identified as the matchers. Matchers. I'm not talking about like the people that play Cupid. I'm talking about matchers. I'll give as much as you give. Uh-huh. Some of you know some people like that, don't you? Yeah. You go out to eat and they say, well, we'll split the bill three ways because there's three of us. But I didn't eat any of the appetizer, so y'all split that part in addition to your regular part. I'm going to give what I took. I'll match. Right? Right? Or, look, Mike, I'll buy this time. But next time, you're buying. And it's going to be at least as an expensive meal as what I'm paying for this time, or you're still going to owe me more. Matchers. Matchers. I'll give whatever you give, but not anymore. What do you think of when I say the word give? If I'm standing in front of you in the pulpit of a church and I say the word give, what comes to your mind? Money. Money. That's right. Money comes to mind. And that's, there's certainly, you know, the Bible is certainly full of passages that tell us that we ought to be giver and of financial resources to the Lord's work. And we ought to do that. I want to just take this moment just real quick to kind of give you a brief side note as far as giving. I'm not talking specifically about money today, but this one is, so bear with me. We are coming upon the end of the year, and our budget and finance committee has put together a proposed budget that we will be presenting here very shortly to you before the end of the year. And in that proposed budget for next year, they're proposing about a $13,000 increase in the budget, which is significant, okay? Significant, and I worried about it, and I struggled with it because I thought, man, that's hard. Of course, last year we increased $20,000, but you know what I'm saying. And so I just took that budget when we were having our prayer time at the end of our time of fasting. I just went out there and got the budget and I brought it in. I laid it on the altar and I said, Lord, tell me what to do with this. What to do with this. And this is kind of where it birthed out of, this birthed out of the message that I preached. He said, how are you measuring? Are you measuring with the stick? How many of you were here last week for the stick and the scales? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Are you measuring with the stick? Are you looking at it and seeing if you can justify it and see how it measures up? Or are you just going to put it on the scales and see what it's going to matter and what it's going to count for? And I said, all right, Lord. It's all yours. It's all yours. But as I was thinking about this $13,000 increase in our budget, here's kind of how it breaks down. If we had three or four families that are not currently tithing, commit to tithe, the budget's met. Okay, I asked the ladies this week, and I want you to know that I don't know what anybody gives to the church. I have told and give strict instructions to our ladies that handle that stuff. Do not tell me that. I don't want to know it. Don't need to know it. I need to know if we have money left over at the end of the month, but other than that, I don't want to know who gives what. So I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. So I asked them to do this report to find out of our families, about how many families we have and about how many of those families taking into consideration their what we know of their financial system, you know, where they're retired, whatever. Are they currently giving what would probably be considered about a tithe, a tenth of their income? And so they did that, and about 80 families in the church membership, I think the number that came up was about 34 of those households are faithful what would probably be a tithe, okay? So there's room. There's room. If you're sitting here today and you're not one of those families, let me encourage you. We need at least three or four to step up to make that budget. Or for everybody that is a giver to the church to increase what they're giving by an average of about $5 per household, that would also meet the budget. So that's about all I'm going to say on that. Just because I felt like I needed to let you know where we are. But when I said give, and you said, yeah, giving the money, the word that comes to mind is money. I want to tell you that that's true, but that's not all. That's not all. Marriage is a give and take. I told you about the cooking and eating and the cleaning and messing. I'm assuming that goes on in other households. It doesn't go on in ours. I'm just... Actually, let me be completely honest with you. It does go on in ours. And I am the eater, and I am the messer in our household. But church is also give and take. Did you know that? Church is give and take. And here's a quick version of how you know what you are, how you know whether which side you fall on as far as church goes. Do you say, when you left, man, I got something out of church today? Or, I didn't get much out of church today. Okay? That would identify you as probably somebody who's looking to get something, to take something from church. I didn't get much out of church today. Okay? That would probably mean you're falling along the lines of a taker, and the giver would say, man, worship was awesome. We lifted it up. We gave God our worship today. Okay? That's kind of just a real quick quiz of how you might... Now, can a giver get something out of church? Absolutely. 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 It's okay to start as a taker. It really is. It really is. And maybe you're new to this. Maybe you're new to Christianity or whatever. You need to be able to take. You need to be able to take. And it's okay to start like that. But let me tell you something. If you've been in the church 3 years, at least, more than 3 years, and you're still taking, I think Jeff Foxworthy would say it like this. If you're still taking after 3 years, you might need to mature. You might need to mature a little bit, to grow up a little bit, to grow in your faith. Because a church with more takers than givers ends up expending its resources, energy, and time on its own, leaving nothing for those we've been called to reach. Does the church need to take care of its own? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is the church called to take care and to reach the people that are lost and are out there? Which one's more important? Yeah, they are both. It's a give and take. You got to have healthy people within the church to go out, but you got to do both. You got to do both. It's a give and take. The problem is, The problem is not that there are too many takers in church. The problem is there are not enough givers. Sunday school teachers. I want to ask you a question. If you're a Sunday school teacher in this church, would you just stand up for a second? I know we've got several. There we are. There we are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. If you are one of our other leaders, if you're one of the deacons, would you stand up? If you're a member of the praise team, would you stand up? If you are a ministry leader in the church, stand up. If you're part of the prayer team that meets, would you stand up? You see, I want you to know something. When you look around, these people are some givers. They're givers, and we thank you for who, what you do. We thank you for what you do. There are others. There are others in this church who are givers also. Okay, there are other people who are involved in a lot of things behind the scenes and whatnot. But I needed to point some folks out to you so you can identify and see, yeah, there are some people that are givers. We are in need of somebody to give right now. Okay, and I'll tell you, there's a few needs. Right now, first, there's a need. Our youth Sunday school class, they've got 7th through 12th grade in one class, and they're planning to try to split those up into two groups, okay? Here's the deal. Jonathan's going to teach one side of it. Leanne's going to teach the other class, but they each need a helper in their class, okay? Not necessarily need somebody to teach the class unless they're going to be gone for some reason, but just need another person in the room, like to have a male and a female. So I want you to consider if that might be an area where you would give. Okay? See, I'm not reaching for your pocketbook. I'm reaching for your time, for your energy. Another need is this. In the month of December, y'all know where our kids are right now, the children? They're children's church. Did you know there's workers out there that are doing that? I hope. I hope there's adults out there with them. God bless them. God bless them. The month of December, I have a need. I need someone to lead that for the month of December. Karen Pierce is the one that she heads that up, and she has a team of people that she uses. Well, her daughter's getting married. Isn't that right, in December? Her daughter's getting married in December. She's marrying my son, by the way. But she's getting married next, and it's going to be a busy month for her. So she asked me to help find somebody to take that over for the month of December so that she can focus on this wedding and the other things. So I need somebody to take that over for December. We also need a couple more volunteers to put in the rotation of helping out there. Okay, I need one leader for the month of December, and I need a helper or two helpers for the rest of the time to put in a rotation to give a month every once in a while during this time with our children out there. So I want you to pray about this today. When I finish, I want you to pray about these things. My prayer is that by the end of service today, those positions are filled. Those positions will be fulfilled. Okay? Pray about that. I'm going to come back to it, so don't think I'm leaving it. In verse 43, back in this passage we just read, it says, "The Lord gave Israel all the land He had sworn to give their ancestors." Everything He promised, He gave. Everything. How many of you are glad that God's a giving God? Yeah, yeah. And He's more than just a giver God. He's an outgiver God. Did you know that? He's an outgiver. Just ask the boy who had the fishes and the loaves, right? He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What happened? He gave it to the disciples. They gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the people, and they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. God is an out-giving God. Let me tell you something about, I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but I've got so many things I wanted to put into this. Let me say something about a phenomenon that is really unexplainable in human terms. The people who are just takers take are usually the emptiest people. And the people who are the givers are the most fulfilled. That doesn't work mathematically wise or scientific wise, but it works God wise. Only God can do that. If you will give and give, God will give you more and more. God is a great God. He's a great God. He's a great God. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs. I don't think I gave this to because I'm reading it out of the Message. You know what the Message is, the Message version of the Bible? Basically, I stopped short of calling it Scripture because it's a very loose paraphrase of what Scripture is, okay? I want to make sure you're clear on how I stand on that. But sometimes what it does, it takes the Scripture and it really just kind of puts it into very contemporary, modern-day terms. And sometimes it just kind of gives me a fresh look on things. And so I want to read to you from the book of Proverbs, verse 11 of chapter 24. this verse out of the Message. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And the world of the stingy, or you could put in there the taker, gets smaller and smaller. How's that work? Because God's in charge. Did you encourage someone today? Have you given some encouragement to somebody today? Or did you need encouragement? Sometimes, how many of you have ever needed encouragement and you get the encouragement that you need only to find out that you're still bone dry? But if you would have invested in somebody and given, even when you were discouraged, if you would have offered an encouraging word to somebody else, God would have encouraged you, because God will not be outgiven. He will not be outgiven. It kind of works like this. The more you take, the more you take, the more you need. The more you give, the more you have. The more you have, the more you have to give. Sometimes you really need encouragement, okay? And I'm not trying to suggest that we don't ever need to admit that we need encouragement, because we do. I need encouragement quite often, okay? We need encouragement. I'm not saying that we should never take encouragement. God is not saying that you should never take either. What I'm saying is that if the word take characterizes your life, then you're missing out on God's greatest blessings in your life. When you take what God has told you to give, you'll always come up empty. Every time. When you take what God has told you to give, you'll always come up empty. When you take the tithe and keep that for yourself, you're going to come up empty, and you're going to struggle, and you're not going to... The passage in Malachi is not going to be true in your life. When he says, bring to the house all the tithe, all of it into the storehouse, and see that I don't just bless your socks off, basically, is a loose paraphrase. If I don't open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much on you that you can't contain it all, if you'll be faithful to give back a portion of that which I've given you. And see, we get this thing mixed up where we go, 10% is a lot of money. That's higher than the tax rate. 10%. I worked hard for that money. But see, what we think like that, and we don't understand that God's saying, God is saying, look, I'm going to let you keep 90%. Which is more, 90% or 10%? 90%. God's saying, hey, keep 90% of everything that I've blessed you with. See, when you look at it from that perspective, you're going like, man, God's a good God. Man, 90%? That's awesome. Oh, let me find out where I was. Look at verse 43 again. It says, they took. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. There is a time to take. Okay? There is definitely a time to take. I don't want you walking out of here and think that Brother Mike is preaching this message that we should never take. Oh, you better take. You better take. The Lord gave and they took. It's a give and take. There's a time for both. There's definitely a time for both. Now, I told you a while ago that you come up empty when you take what God has called you to give, right? But listen, you also come up empty when you give what God has told you to take. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. You also come up empty when you give what God has told you to take. Did God tell them to take the land? He did. What happened when they failed to take the land? They came up short. They came up empty. God gave them the land, but they had to take it. Some of you are empty because you don't take what God gave. You don't possess what God promised. You see, God puts things like joy, like peace, like comfort, salvation. He puts that before you, in front of you. But just because He gives it doesn't mean you possess it. Just because He gives it doesn't mean you possess it. You have to be a taker of what God gives. And too many of us have it all mixed up. We give what God has told us to take, and we take what God has told us to give. Some have given their marriage when God has told you to take your marriage, and some have given it, given up on it, given it away. Some have given up on their children. Some have given up on their careers, given up on so many things. But today is the day you stop. You stop giving what the Lord has told you to take. You look the old devil right square in the eye and you look at him and say, no more. In Jesus' name, no more. I'm going to take back. Oh, how's it go? I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. That's a promise that's a promise that God has said. You are the victor through Jesus Christ. The enemy can't steal stuff from you. The problem is, instead of the enemy stealing stuff, like stealing our joy, stealing that, it's because we've handed it to him. Yeah. It's easy to say, well, the Lord stole it from me. I mean, the devil stole it from me. He's a thief. And he steals it. But the problem is, when it boils down to it, probably more often than not, we just handed it over. Don't give that stuff up. God has told you to take it and to possess it and to receive it. God has been trying to give you some stuff, but you're empty because you're not taking it. Salvation is one of those things. He put salvation in front of you. He said, here's, it's already bought, it's paid for, it's here for you to take it. And some have taken it. Some have taken it. And some have not taken it. Some have not received that. But here's the problem. Some have taken it and going, that's really cool. I like this. I might need this someday. Put it on the shelf over there. That's not receiving it. That's not taking it. That's something else. I don't even know what that is. You got to take what God has given you. To take means to receive, right? If I'm going to give you something and I hand it to you, I said, this is a gift from me to you, and I give it to you, you take it, you have done what? You have received that gift. You take it and put it over on the shelf. You haven't received it. You may have taken it, but it's not received. You don't have any, it doesn't do you any good until you receive it, until you open it up and you find out what's inside. That's what salvation is. Some of you need to open it up and see what's inside. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Some of you have forgotten what's inside. Let me encourage you. Take back what God has told you to take. Receive it. Following this give and take in Matthew 26, verse 26, this is the Lord's Supper when they were Jesus was crucified. He said, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body. You see the give and take in that verse? That's a great verse for showing give and take. Give and take. They took from the Lord. Let me tell you something. You cannot give to the world that which you do not take from the Lord. Does the world need joy? If you don't take joy from the Lord, you can't give it to the world. Give and take. Give and take. Back in Joshua. I'm going to go back in time in Joshua, all the way back to chapter 13. In verse 1. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you are now very old. You see, sometimes God says some stuff that's pretty obvious. right? You are now very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. How much of the land did God give the people? All of it. How much had they taken it over? There were still large areas of land that had not been received, that had not been taken. They settled. They settled. They did not fulfill the promise. They're part of the promise of God, right? God said, I'm giving you all of it. I promised that, but you have to take it. But they didn't take it all. They didn't take it all. What if there is still a level of purpose and fulfillment and true satisfaction in your life that's never going to be yours as long as you continue to settle before you get there? Leaving large areas of your life unclaimed. You may feel full, or you may know for a fact that you're far from full today, here in this place. But wherever you are, remember from what we've talked about before, that our God is a more God. Wherever you are, there's more. If you're empty, there's more. If you're half full, there's more. If you are full, oh, there's still more. There is still more. What in your life has been given by God, but you still haven't taken it? You still haven't claimed it. You haven't received it. What more has God promised you in your life that still is out there in that large area of land that's unclaimed? You have to ask yourself that. Ask the Lord. He'll show it to you. Don't settle. Don't settle because the job is not done. It's not complete. The job is not yet fulfilled. Remember our word today? Fulfilled. To be fulfilled, you have to take. You have to receive. But not just for you. Because if you will take what God has given you for the purpose of giving to others, and if you will follow through and give it, God gives even more. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. And it's all for God's glory and all for the eternal benefit of those people that you may not even know yet. Did you know that God's not through putting people in your life? I don't care if you're 87, 88, 89, 90 years old, 100 years old, or you're 4 years old, God is going to put people in your life for a purpose. What are you going to give in that moment? What are you going to give in that moment? If you can ever get to full, know that you're still being filled. That's the kind of God we serve. An unending supply. God is a fulfilling God. And that's what I want to be. I want to be full and still being filled. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be fulfilled. How about you? There is no fulfillment. There is no true fulfillment. Never will be true fulfillment without Jesus Christ. So that's where it's got to start. If you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you know of Him, but you don't know Him personally, you've never entered into that personal relationship with Him, you're never going to experience fulfillment until you receive that which God has given to you. And maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that and you've kind of wandered off and you've gotten busy about taking other things and not worried about so much about giving what God has given you to. And maybe today's your day when you say, you know what? I do need to be a giver. I need to give more of myself. I need to give more of what God has blessed me with. And I will commit today, I am going to be a giver. I'm going to take what God has given me. I'm going to give it back to Him for His kingdom work. And watch Him multiply that and continue to give me more. God, here's 90%. I'm blown away by this number, 90%. God gives me 100%, says, give me back 10%. I give Him back 10%. You know what He does with that 10%? He multiplies it and gives me another 100% and said, here, keep 90 of it. Give me 10% back. And I give Him 10%. He's faithful. He says, hell, watch this. He multiplies it, gives me 100% back again. That's my kind of God. That's my God. That's a great God. That's your God. Are you taking what He's giving? You have to take it. He gave all the land, but they still had to take it. What's left untaken and unclaimed in your life? Don't leave today without settling that question. What has God given me but that I have not yet taken? For some, it may be salvation. For some, it may be joy. For some, it may be confidence. For some, it may be an attitude of generosity. Whatever it is, claim it because God has given it and you need to take it so that you can give it. It's give and take. Give and take. I'm not sure where you are today, but I pray that this word has blessed you. I pray that it has challenged you. And I pray that if you will follow through with the challenge that God has put in front of you, that it will change you. That's what we're about. We're about change, because the Bible tells us that old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, been changed. We're renewed, right? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, God is a God of change. He's a more God. Put those together. He wants us to change more. Yeah? Give and take. If you're just a giver, maybe you need to start taking. And if you're just a taker, maybe you need to start giving. Still have those spots that need to be filled today. I'm praying. I'm going to pray in just a moment that those spots, before we leave today, somebody's going to come up here and say, "Brother Mike, I would like to fill one of those spots. Here's what I would like to do. Or where do you need me?" I'm going to pray. Would y'all pray with me that that will happen? Father in heaven, we come before you today. Lord, I thank you for this group that's in this room. And Lord, we thank you for your word and how it does challenge us, and that your word does work within us and change us, all for your glory and for those people that still need to understand what you're all about. Father, we've asked and we pray specifically for those positions that need to be filled today. A children's church leader, a children's church helper or two, and two Sunday school helpers for the youth. Lord, we ask that you would put that on somebody's heart today. They would be faithful to and obedient to you, Father, and they would say, "Here is where I'm going to start giving right now today, and I'm going to give that." Lord, I pray that you would answer that. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in the room today that has not received the gift of salvation that you have freely given, that today would be the day they receive that and open it up and live in that salvation from here evermore. Lord, I pray for those that are going through struggles and realize, Father, that it's because maybe they've been taken and taken and taken and they're still empty and they don't understand why. Lord, you've called us to be give and take, givers and takers. Father, help us to give what you've told us to give and to take what you've told us to take. That's my prayer for us, Father. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?